long roads. It reminds me of the Roman roads here in England. And some of them are so long. There's just the road ahead of you. And when you look to the horizon, it comes to a point. And you drive to that point, and you keep heading for that point until you arrive at your journey. And no matter how long that is, it takes a little while, but you will arrive there following that road. Well, we need a focal point in life, every one of us. And Jesus gave us this focal point. He says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 7 to 8, as the disciples were watched Jesus being taken up into heaven, he said this. Or rather, the angel, came and said this. The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. That's the focal point that Jesus has given us to watch and to focus our whole, our being on that focal point. His return. We don't hear very many sermons these days about the second coming of Jesus. And yet, that should be a burning issue in every one of our hearts, because it is what we are looking forward to. The Bible, or rather Jesus, as we go through this, we'll see that he gives us warnings, to be ready, to be ready. So I've got 3 points. I'm a real traditional man, unlike Nathan. First of all, be concerned. Secondly, be ready. And thirdly, be faithful. So the first point, sorry about that. The first thing, Jesus made this, or rather, we read this in verse 30. Jesus will appear with pomp and glory. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. And we'll see that. We are now seeing things that, we heard might happen, but in many cases, people are seeing things that they've never seen before. This Celia was just telling me about the news. Apparently, we're 2 degrees higher than what's normal for this time of the season. And the result is that the trees are still, some have lost their leaves, but some still have their leaves. It's like the whole of creation doesn't know where it is. I don't know about you, but my roses are still coming out in the garden. And the flowers, asters, are blooming beautifully. Yeah, so I don't know much about horticulture, but I was just watching the garden. I pruned the plum tree yesterday. And to my surprise, the buds, the new leaves, are already forming on the tree for next year. I think to myself, well, we still got to go through the winter yet. That's yet to come. He will send his angels with trumpet call and gather his elect. Yeah, and that lovely song that Sheila chose there. Will you be ready? Will I be ready? That's the focal point that Jesus gave us to focus on. Well, the first sign in this passage that we just read in verse 30, which is a little earlier on, we find that, or rather verse 32, there's a fig tree. Luke in Luke 13 and verse 6 to 9, Jesus tells this parable. God planted a fig tree in his vineyard. He came looking for fruit, but found none. So God ordered the keeper to cut it down, but the keeper pleaded for another year to dig and fertilize it. And if it still remains fruitless, then you can cut it down. Well, we find that this fig tree is representative of Israel. In Genesis 3, verse 17, verse 7, after Adam sinned, and was ashamed of his nakedness, God clothed him with fig leaves. We find also that the fig leaves were prescribed for boils in Isaiah 38, verse 21, for food, for presents, and it was used figuratively throughout the scriptures. For instance, it was used for both peace or prosperity. It was used for righteousness and wickedness. It was used for the fathers of Israel, who, instead of leading the people of God to God, were leading them away from God. It's also figurative of barren religion. It's figurative for Jesus' return. And we see also in Revelation 6 and verse 13, the sixth seal in Revelation, the book of Revelation, it says this. It speaks on earth of an earthquake, the sun and moon turning black and the moon turning blood red, the stars falling down to the earth like figs shaken by the wind. The sky will recede like a scroll. Imagine that. The sky receding like a scroll. Every hill and mountain removed from its place. Men will be hiding in caves, begging to die because of the great day of the Lord. It's a day that believers look forward to. Why? Because Jesus is coming to gather his elect. I've learned a few things over the years. There's not going to be many of the elect. And even now, I don't know about your walk with Jesus. It seems a very lonely road. Your friends all seem to pull in other directions. Even your family pulls in its own direction. And wanting desperately to live for God and to please God seems very lonely. Well, I believe that this generation, that refers to the many generations of God's disciples, God's people, who eagerly await Jesus' return. We find God's word in verse 24 to 35, chapter 24, verse 35. It says this: "Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will not pass away." We can hold on to the word of God. It's as solid as a rock. When he says it, he will do it. When he promises, he will deliver. Hallelujah. That's our God. Our hope is on solid ground. When God says it, it's as good as done. And then the second thing I saw there is the Holy Spirit. In John 15, verse 26, it says this: "He will teach you all things," the Holy Spirit. He will bring back to mind the things, everything that I have said and told you. The Holy Spirit will teach us. He will give us understanding of what we fail to understand in God's word. He will lead us. He will give us wisdom, even above our elders. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "Wait in Jerusalem to the disciples until you've been clothed with power. And then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth." The Holy Spirit is part of Jesus, of God the Father's promise, so that we don't struggle in life, so that we don't battle in life. It's so sad that within the established church, the things that we neglect so often is the Holy Spirit. Oh, may God open our hearts, remove all fear from us, that we may be open for God's leading in our lives, that he may teach us, that we may see things that other people just do not see. Do you know, I've learned this. God wants to reveal to us things that others just don't even know about. Yeah? I really believe that as believers, the Lord wants to live so close to us that we even have the same thoughts as his thoughts. I'm surprised sometimes when Celia comes out with things that maybe I'm thinking about. She's asked, what do I want for Christmas? And I did say no to another hat, but then I know that she already has in mind things that I have also in mind, and that's just on a human level. God wants to reveal to us more than we even are able to ask or even think. He wants to be so close to us that his thoughts are our thoughts. His ways are our ways. His hopes and desires are our hopes, our desires. That's how close he wants to walk with us. Will you be ready? Will you be ready? In verse 27, it says this: keep watch, because no one knows the day or the hour. Not the angels, not the Son, not even you or I. Only the Father knows the day when Jesus will come. It is when God's mercy and grace runs out that Jesus will come. The Bible says this: not until the full number of Gentiles have been gathered in, and then Jesus will come. So we who were outside, because the Jewish people are, God's choice, God's own family, but we Gentiles had no way in. Until Jesus came. Hallelujah. And it says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The way has been opened to whosoever will may come. Hallelujah. I love that. I love that. There's room for me, and there's room for you at the throne in the heart of Jesus. So there we see that we need to be those who are ready. The second sign was the days of Noah that is given us. People were busy taking care of normal life, normal living. They were so busy getting married when the floods came and covered the earth. Jesus speaks about it in this way: two will be at the walking down the lane. Suddenly, one is taken and one is left. Two will be grinding at the mill. One woman will be taken and the other left. Like Gideon's army, 32,000 men ready for battle, and God sends them down to the river. And the way they lapped the water up determined whether they were ready for the enemy to come at all time. Of 32,000 fighting men, the Bible speaks of only 300 who drank water watching the horizon to make sure that the enemy were not coming. And those were the 300 men that God took and overcame the enemy. 300 men. Oh, sometimes you may feel so on your own walking with Jesus, so alone. Sometimes we make the mistake and try to blend in with those, what's happening around about us. But those of us whose hearts are fixed on Jesus, there's that reminder that keeps drawing us back. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've walked away How many times the Lord has pulled me back. I think for all of us, we've got to say, there but for the grace and the mercy of God. Go I. Well, thirdly, be faithful. Be concerned. Be ready. But most of all, be faithful. This is what it says. When who then is the faithful and wise servant? Who then is the faithful and wise servant? Verse 45. We are called to be priests who stand before God and mankind. In between the two, we've received Jesus. Hallelujah. And now we have been given a commission. We've been given a job to do in the meantime before Jesus comes. That job is awaiting us. And Jesus is anxious that the job is done, because that determines how long his return will be. The sooner we bring more and more into the kingdom of God, the sooner Jesus will come. The more laxed we are, the longer will be the strain and the suffering that's yet to come. Yeah. We are all priests. And this is, we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. I love that. Can you imagine that me, who needed Jesus so much because of the sin in my life, having received Jesus, he's given me and he's given you the ministry of reconciling men, women, boys, and girls back into a relationship with the Father. I don't know about you, but sometimes even in the family, I've got now a lot of great grandchildren and even, well, two great grandsons and many grandchildren. And bringing them into the kingdom of God is like trying to move heaven from earth. Well, it's a struggle. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, we read this. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You and I, all our inadequacies, our lack of scripture knowledge, yet you and I have been given, not the angels who would do a better job than you and I, but God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, it just blows my mind. It blows my mind that he trusts you. He trusts me with the greatest ministry, bringing God and his people together again, his creation. What an awesome ministry we have. In verse 36, no one knows the hour, not the angels nor the Son. Only the Father knows when Jesus is coming. And Jesus gave us this command in Mark 16 and verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He gave us this in Matthew 28 and verse 18 to 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Imagine that. And with that authority, I give you now this command. Go, make disciples of every nation. Baptize them in my name. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Over the years, the awful conviction that Satan keeps bringing, I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I went to college, Bristol Baptist College. I did a diploma in theology there. And I looked at those all doing degrees, thinking, I'll never be adequate. I look back now at the years in ministry that God has given me. Again, I've got to say, there but for the grace of God. There but for the grace of God. I close just with this. I've heard this story from many ministers, and I'm sharing the same story. I don't know where it's from, but it's apparently a true story. These two men working in a factory, they're working on dangerous machines, and one of them got caught on his arm and his clothing and got pulled into the machine. And by the time the machine was switched off, his body was half in already. And his friend, best friend, who worked on the same machine together for many, many years, was a Christian. And the only thing he could think of before his friend died, he had to tell him about Jesus. And so he was trying to share the message of Jesus. And the man in the machine with his dying breath turned around and said this: I worked with you all these years. Why didn't you share with me my need of Jesus' love in me? I've been convicted by that for over many years. I have had some lovely opportunities. I remember I was studying in Bristol, and I had to get jobs, you know, to sort of try and pay my way. I never did pay my way. God paid my way. That's all I can say, because I don't know how the college kept with me, or rather kept me on to the end, and not been able to give very much. I worked in the steam laundry, Southmead steam laundry. And we did all the hospital clothing. That all came full of blood from the operations. And there are lots of young people from the Southmead area, lots of them. And I was desperate, you know, to share Jesus. And so I invited them to come to grab a chair and to come outside, and because I didn't know if they'd allow me in the factory, and have a discussion. And I was absolutely shocked how this thing grew. Not only did the staff come, but even the owner used to come with his lunch, and there we would chat. He was a Christian. I didn't realize that until those days. And there we would discuss all sorts of things about sex before marriage. And they were just non-Christians, and they were willing to share. And I was able to share with them what the Bible teaches. I don't know what happened to them, but I thank God for the opportunities. I learned this: never be afraid. They may laugh, they may mock you, but they respect you in their hearts. Don't look at the outward expressions. Inwardly, they long to be like you. Inwardly. May Jesus reveal more of himself in us, that we hear others saying, oh, I just want to hear Jesus saying this, or Father saying this: well done, my good and faithful servant. Until Jesus comes or calls, may the Lord help us to make that room, that we may be faithful even to the end. I'd just like to pray. Father, how dearly we love you. And we pray, dear Lord Jesus, in these days, that you, in the most glorious way, will reveal yourself more to us, Lord, that we may be open for your moving in our lives, Oh, Lord Jesus, that you may work out your will, your plan, your purpose in us. Father, be glorified in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.